Good evening. If you would get your Bibles and be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we'll begin this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Before I begin, I'd like to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak with you this evening. Hopefully the things that I've prepared will benefit you if they benefited me in my study and preparation for this lesson. But tonight, what I want to talk a little bit about in the short time that I have with you is the need as Christians to be content, the need for contentment. And if you would, read with me in 1 Timothy 6, and we'll read verse 6. It says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. The definition of being content is to be satisfied with what one is or has, not wanting more or anything else. This is something that should be a part of every Christian's character. And throughout the scriptures, we are taught the concept of contentment and told that as Christians, we should be content with our place in life and with the things that we have. However, this is something that is sometimes easier said than done, especially when we live in a society as we do today that surrounds us with the idea of getting more and more stuff and accumulating more and more material things. This evening, we're going to discuss the idea of being content in several areas. First of all, we're going to speak of the idea of being content with our material possessions, the things that we accumulate in this life, the things that we have, the things that we buy. We're going to talk about our necessities that are provided for us by God and our place that God has put us in this life and being content with the things that God has given us. And then one area we're going to talk about that we should not be content in, that we should never be satisfied with, is our knowledge of the scriptures and our spiritual wellness. We should never be content with where we are as Christians. We should always be looking to strive toward perfection and increase our knowledge in the Word of God. But the first thing I'd like to talk to you about this evening is about the material things and obtaining wealth. And one of the first things I'd like to point out before we get started in talking about contentment is talking about our purpose on this earth, the reason we're here and our goal in this life, which of course is to get to heaven. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon writes that the conclusion of the matter is to serve God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The reason that we're here on earth is to serve God and to keep His commandments. Our goal on this earth is to serve Him and to live a life according to His will, that we might obtain that gift of eternal salvation which God has so graciously given to us. And the idea of being content goes along with this idea of serving God, and that anything that keeps us from doing that, anything that keeps us from serving God, is something that we need to put out of our lives. There are many things that we're going to talk about this evening that are not in and of themselves wrong, but that might hinder us from serving God. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Here in verse 1 of chapter 12 in Hebrews, we're told to lay aside every weight. I believe this is talking about here certain things that in this life that may not be in and of themselves sinful, such as accumulating such material things. But if we're not content with the things that we have, if we're so wrapped up in getting more and more stuff, that is something that can hinder us from serving God as we should. And we're going to talk about some of those things this evening. But first of all, we'll begin to talk about the material things of this earth and being content with what we have. And obtaining wealth is something that, in and of itself, as we said, is not wrong, but it's not something that as Christians we should be completely and totally wrapped up in. It can hinder us from serving God. We need to be content with what we have, and the key to that is not putting wealth in front of God, in front of our service to God. We live in a society today where you can go out any time to stores and pretty much get what you want when you want. We have banks that will give you a loan. I know that I get credit card offers in the mail about every day, get that junk mail. There are ways to get what we want if we want to, by either going in debt, by maybe putting certain things aside that we need to focus on that are more important, such as giving money back to the Lord, providing things for our family that we need. If we are so wrapped up in obtaining those material things of this life, then we can get that if we want it, and that's something that we need to be aware of and be thinking about. But we're constantly bombarded today with television ads, with movies that show these people in the world that have all these material things. It shows that they are happy with these things. It shows that the material things in life are the things that make this life worth living and that make us happy in life. And as Christians, that shouldn't be a part of our lives. Serving God is what we are here on this earth to do, not to accumulate material things. We see that others might have something else newer or better, and we want what they have instead of being thankful for what God has blessed us with. An idea of this, we have the saying, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. This isn't something that should be a part of a Christian's life. We should be content with what we have. We should be content with what God has given us. And our sole purpose in life should be serving God, not accumulating wealth or material objects. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 12, I'd like to look at a few principles that are taught in Scripture that go against this idea of obtaining wealth and putting wealth first. But in Luke chapter 12, we have the parable of the rich fool. Now, I'd like to begin reading in verse 15 and read through verse 21. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" We see here the mistake that the rich fool here makes is he puts his importance, he puts the things that he values most on this earth. He lays up for himself treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven, and this is something that's not acceptable to God. I'd also like to turn to Matthew 6, if you will. Matthew 6, and in beginning in verse 19, we're taught this principle once again. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In 1 Timothy 6, I'd like to read there verses 6 through 10. If you would turn with me there to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We already read that godliness with contentment is great gain. And following on in that passage, it says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and perceive themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." You know, we see here once again, the love of money is the root of all evil. That lack of contentment, that lack of being satisfied with what we have and being greedy and pursuing more wealth and more material objects is something that God warns us of and tells us that we, as a part of Christians, it should not be part of our character. We should be content with what we have and realize that we are here on this earth to serve God and to keep His commandments. We are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven and that goal of eternal life. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 1, I'd like to look in the Old Testament at a couple of passages. Proverbs chapter 1. And here in verse 1, we're told a little bit about the character of sinners. And in verse 19, he says, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away from the life of its owners." Then also in Proverbs chapter 11, you would turn with me to chapter 11 of Proverbs. And in verse 28, we're told, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." Once again, you know, where are we putting our trust? As Christians, where is our goals in life? Where do we place our importance? Is it in the things of this world, the riches of this world, or is it in serving God and keeping His commandments? And Dad mentioned, I believe it was in his lesson this morning, Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, where it speaks about, you know, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? In the end, it doesn't matter a bit what we gain in this earth. We can't take what we have in this life with us once we die. And on that judgment day, what's it going to profit us if we had everything that we can possibly imagine in this earth, but God doesn't take us into heaven because we didn't serve Him while we were on this earth and obey Him and live a life that was righteous and in accordance with His will? We, as Christians, need to have the attitude that Paul did. We can look to Paul as an example of how we are to be content in our life. If you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Paul is a great example that we can look to as Christians to find out how we need to live our lives. And part of that is to be content in whatever state we are in, to be content as Paul was. And Paul was in some pretty bad circumstances, as we know, throughout his life. We can read in 2 Timothy 3:11. If you would turn with me there real quick. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 11, it says, "Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me." You know, Paul was persecuted, he was beaten. To many who would look on Paul's life, we would say that he lived a rough life. You know, compared to Paul, we have it easy. We don't have to worry about physical persecution in this country that we live in. We are persecuted in many other ways as Christians, but physical persecution is not something that we will find ourselves in very often. However, in this state of Paul's life, he says he was content. He said in Philippians 4:11, "Whatever state I am, he found to be content." And that's something that we need to look to as Christians as an example and work towards being content with whatever situation we are in and with the things that we have in this life. The next thing I'd like to talk about a little bit about being content with is our necessities in life or our place in life. The things that God has given us. God said He would take care of us. The place that God has put us in our life, the position we're in, whether it be our jobs, our relationships, we need to learn to trust God and to be content with what He has given us and the position He's put us in. If you would turn with me to Matthew 6 and in verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Earlier in that chapter, you know, many of us are familiar with this chapter. He talks about worrying about clothing and food and body. He says, "The birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of more value than they?" God tells us that if we serve Him, if we are righteous, if we seek the kingdom of God, that He will take care of us. But sometimes in this life, we might not feel that way. Sometimes we think that we know better than God. Sometimes we're not content with that position or those things that God has given us in this life. And because of that, we're not happy as we should be. We need to always be content with where God has put us. If you would turn with me to Isaiah 55. I'd like to look there real quick. Isaiah 55. In verses 8 and 9 of Isaiah 55 say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then also, turning back over to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians 3, and verses 18 through 21. 1 Corinthians 3, and verses 18 through 21 says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours." We see here in these passages that we just looked at in Isaiah and 1 Corinthians that God knows better than us. His ways are better than our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And His wisdom is much more wise than our wisdom. God's foolishness is so much more wise than the wisdom of man. And as a Christian, we need to trust in the Lord. We read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 that He is going to take care of us if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says He will add those things to us. There are some times in our lives that we might not be content with the situation we're in. It might be the job we're at. We might see one of our coworkers get a promotion that we were looking for, and we wonder, you know, why? What did I do to where I didn't receive that promotion? Why didn't God bless me with that promotion? These are things that we do not need to worry about. As Christians, we need to serve God and trust that He is going to do what's best for us. And that's that contentment, that idea of being content, is something that's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard because we see others flourishing. We may see unfaithful people people in the world that are prospering, and we're not. And we think to ourselves, you know, why is this? What am I doing? You know, why isn't God blessing me like these people are being blessed, or like these people? Why aren't I prospering like these people are prospering? And that shows a lack of contentment on our part when we have that attitude. Because as Christians, we do need to trust God and trust that He's going to do what's best for us. Because as we mentioned in these verses, that God's foolishness is so much wiser than our wisdom. And what we think is best for us might not always be best. God works providentially in our lives, and we need to trust that He's going to do what's best for us. The next thing I'd like to look at, as far as the need to be content in our lives as Christians, is our roles that the Lord has given us. We need to trust in the Lord and be content with the roles that He has given us in the church and in the home are the two places that I would like to look at this evening. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 16. Here we're told, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. Here we're told in verse 11 that He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Each one of us has a different role in the church. Some are teachers, some are elders, some are deacons. We all have our roles that we need to fill and be content with. If one of us is not content with our role in the church and tries to go beyond that role that has been given to us, then it can cause problems. In verse 16, it says, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We are all working together towards a common goal, which is to get to heaven. And if certain members of the church or the congregation are not fulfilling that role, then it's going to be harder to reach that goal and be unified in the reaching of that goal as we are to be. Also in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, we see a little bit of the roles that women are to have in the church. Let's go ahead and begin in verse 3 of Titus chapter 2. It says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient in their own to their own husbands, that the word of God may be blasphemed. Here we see the role that older women play in the church. They are to teach the younger women these things that are mentioned in Titus chapter 2. Also, in 1 Timothy 2 and verses 10 through 12, if you would turn with me there, 1 Timothy 2, and in verses 10 through 12, says, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but be silent. One of the things that we see in the world today, in the many denominations today, is more and more women taking leadership roles in the different denominational congregations, the different denominational churches. in this world. And that's something that God, that's a role that God has not given to women. It's something that we need to look at in the scriptures and abide by. It goes back to, again, even though we may think, you know, what's wrong with the woman teaching? You know, I definitely know women have more knowledge of the scriptures than I do and would be fine teachers, but that's not the point. The point is that that's not their role to take that leadership responsibility in the services. And because God has told us that and commanded us that, we need to abide by that and be content with it. We need to be content with our role in the church. The next thing I'd like to look at is the role that we have in the home. As we know, men and women are very different. Men and women have different roles that God has given them. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and in verses 1 through 3, here Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." And also, if you would, turn to 1 Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." We see here that in the home, the role of the man is to be head over the woman. The husband is to dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. The husband is supposed to raise the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We see certain roles throughout scriptures that the husband is supposed to fulfill, and we need to abide by these roles that God has given us and be content with that and not go outside of these roles. Also in 1 Peter 3, in verse 1, we see the role that the wife is to play. See, in 1 Peter 3, verse 1, it says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." This here in this particular passage is speaking of wives with husbands that are not Christians, but we're told here that even in this situation, wives are to submit to their husbands. They are to be submission to their husbands. Also, and going back to Titus, if you would, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, once again, says to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may be blasphemed. One of the main reasons that we see so many problems in the home today is because of men and women not knowing their roles. There are more and more women that are entering the workforce, and as we mentioned earlier, there are things we'll talk about this evening that in and of themselves aren't wrong. I don't believe it is wrong for a woman to be in the workforce, to have a job outside of the home. But I do believe there is a problem there when that prohibits the woman from fulfilling her role, which, as we read there in Titus 2, is to be a homemaker, to take care of things at home. We see many problems in society today with broken homes, broken families, children that are not obedient to their parents, children that have problems. And one of the reasons is because the roles at home are not being fulfilled. The husband is not fulfilling his role to be head of the house. The woman is not fulfilling her role to be a homemaker. And these are things that at the basis of the problem is a lack of contentment. We're not content with what the responsibilities that God has given us and the roles that God has given us to fulfill. And instead of simply obeying God's commandments and serving Him and fulfilling those roles, we're going outside what God has commanded us in scriptures. And because of that, we are confronted with all these problems that we have in society today. And one of the main reasons for these problems is a lack of contentment. The last and final thing I'd like to talk about this evening is our spiritual growth. As we mentioned, you know, at the beginning of the lesson, one of the things that we should never be content with or satisfied with, we should never grow complacent with our ability and knowledge of God's Word and our growth as a Christian. If you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to read in verse 12 and read through chapter 6 and verse 2. We're told, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. We see here that we are to go on to perfection, or to go on to completion, as mentioned in the first verse of chapter 6. As Christians, we are to continually to strive to increase our knowledge of God's Word and to reach that spiritual maturity that's talked about throughout Scriptures. You know, at the beginning of the summer, we had our Vacation Bible School. And the theme to the Vacation Bible School was growing in grace. And the topics we talked about that week was the things that we can do to grow in the grace of God in Christ. The things that we can do to increase our spirituality, our relationship with God, to become closer to God, and to grow in our knowledge of His Word. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we're told the reason for this. If you would turn with me there. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." As Christians, when we are baptized, when we become Christians and are baptized into Christ's church, that's not the end of our work. That is the very beginning. We're baptized into Christ's church, we become Christians, and as we grow and as we live the rest of our lives as Christians, we're to grow in that knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we're to become stronger and stronger Christians as we live our lives. If we're not going forward in our walk as Christians, we're going back there. We talk of the term of drifting. If you're not going forward, you're going to drift backwards. You're going to drift away from the point that you need to be, which is reaching that completion, striving for that perfection, and reaching that spiritual maturity as a Christian. One of the ways that we do this is by meditating on spiritual things. If you would turn with me to Philippians once again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We're told, "Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We need to meditate on the things of God and continually be thinking of the things of God in order to reach that spiritual maturity. A good example of this is the Bereans in Acts chapter 17. When they were preached the word, they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if the things that were being preached were so. And then they applied those to their lives. We need to be as the Bereans were and search the Scriptures, continue to increase our knowledge of God's Word. Also in 2 Peter 1, we're taught the concept of growing as Christians. 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verses 5 through 10, we'll read there. It says, "Also for this very reason, getting all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." We're told here to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. It's the idea of adding one thing onto another, never being complacent, never being satisfied with where we're at as a Christian. We should always be striving to do better and to learn more. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7 that he fought the fight and he finished the race. He uses the analogy a couple times in Scripture of running the race, but it's a race of endurance. It's not a sprint to the finish line. Once we become a Christian, we don't sprint to that finish line of heaven. It's something that we have to endure. We have to run the race with endurance and continue to build on our spiritual maturity, continue to build on our knowledge as Christians of God's Word in order to reach that goal of heaven in the end, in Judgment Day, and once we pass from this earth. And as we mentioned earlier, all these things go back to the idea of contentment. With our spiritual growth, we don't need to be content. We need to not be satisfied with where we are. We need to continue to grow. And as we spoke of earlier in the lessons, earlier tonight in this lesson, we need to have the same idea that Paul had about everything else. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, he speaks of the contentment that he had. He says, "In all things I've learned to be content." This might be in regard to our physical possession or to our roles in the home or church, or whatever it is that we need to trust. Whatever it is, we need to trust that the Lord is in control and that He will do what's best for us. He will provide us with what's best. He will put us in a position that's best for us. And we need to be content with that position that God has given us. We mentioned earlier that man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And sometimes what we think is best might not be best. We need to trust that the Lord knows what's best for us. Hopefully the things that we've talked about this evening have benefited you. This lesson has not been primarily for those who have not named the name of Christ and who have not become Christians. But we would be remiss if we didn't offer an invitation this evening to those. We do not know your heart, but if you have not named the name of Christ, if you have not been baptized into Christ Church and would like to come forward and confess Him and do that at this time, then we offer the opportunity to you tonight. If we can assist you in any way, we ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.